This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Danny Ventura from the Boston Herald. Dan, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
I am fine, I guess.
Good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Still kicking. All right. Hey, Dan, let's take a look at big picture, Eastern Mass or Massachusetts High School football. Big game coming up this weekend, Xavarian and CM on Saturday afternoon. So how do you look at this big Catholic Conference matchup?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, CM, we've all talked about going into the season. They are the team to beat. You know, they've won 24 or whatever in a row. And the only game that they, you know, Xavarian nearly beat them 2 years ago. Now, I know that means nothing now, but, you know, Xavarian has played, you know, they played them fairly well. Even last year's game, when you look at it, you know, Xavarian pretty much dominated the game for most of that first half. And then, you know, bad decision, you know, they threw an interception, and that kind of turned the whole game around. And once CM gets going, it's like that snowball effect. I mean, you just can't slow them down.
Yeah, so that's, again, Saturday afternoon, game to watch. You know, I'm looking at games up in our area, Dan, and I know that, I mean, you keep a close eye on the state's top-ranked teams for sure, but St. John's Prep certainly among those teams. They'll be at St. John's of Shrewsbury on Friday night, but the Prep made a quarterback change last week in week six of the season.
Yeah, and usually you don't see that late in the season, but, you know, I think they, you know, with the playoffs on the horizon, if you're going to make a move, this is probably as good a time as any. And, you know, they have St. John's before the playoffs. And, you know, right now they're in the sixth spot, which would put them, if they stay there, lined up with Wachusett. And sixth probably is not a bad spot. I'm assuming in Division One, you know, the team you want to avoid as long as possible is Springfield Central. And if they stay at six and Springfield is two right now, then, you know, that keeps them away from them until Gillette.
All right, so we've talked about, and I've talked about the ranking systems, the power rankings with other people as well. And we really have to wait till the end of this weekend and get the latest rankings to figure this all out. But you got a team like Peabody, Dan, and they're playing Salem, so they're in D2, highly ranked. And you know, what happens with them if they win that game against Salem? Do they help themselves in the rankings, or what do you think?
That's going to be interesting to see. You know, that, you know, Salem is a team that's a couple of divisions lower. I mean, assuming, you know, every form holds true, Peabody should win. That puts them at 8-0. Right now they're number three, which is probably not a great spot, only because as of right now, Catholic Memorial is sixth. But I think what's going to happen is Catholic Memorial, if they beat Xavarian, they're going to pick up a lot of points. The Xavarian is one of the top-rated teams in Division One. So I see CM shooting up there fairly high.
Yeah, CM has been down in these rankings, but then it all depends on who they're it all obviously counts as to who they're playing, right?
Yeah, what's hurt CM is that, you know, three of their wins have come against Algonquin, Malvern Catholic, and St. John's of Shrewsbury, who I think combined might have no more than two wins. That's really done a number on their opposing value rating.
Gotcha. All right, so overall, you know, you look at all the divisions, all the schools from around the state. So, what's your take, and what are you hearing from coaches and, you know, other so-called insiders on how the power rankings are working out?
I think people like the general concept. There are certainly some complaints because you're going to look at a team. You know, you go down to Division 8, Drury is 5-0, but right now will probably not make the playoffs, because their opponent value is very weak. I think people look at it like, you know, if you have that type of record, you should be rewarded somehow. I think the issue you're getting is a lot of people don't like the margin of victory being a strong component in the system. I think they would rather, you know, put more emphasis on if you win a game, you should get more credit for winning than a guy in terms of how much you beat someone by.
Yeah, I think it's these teams that well, any team that has to play down in a division, you know, sets themselves up, I think, for not being able to, you know, gather a lot of points with a win, so to speak, you know, and the potential is there for that to happen. And so, thus, the lower divisional teams, you know, pick up more, you know, at the other end with a different type of record, I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, a perfect case in point to what you're saying is Everett. You know, Everett's 6-1, and right now they're 12th in Division One, and the reason their opponent's rating is the lowest one of them all, of all 28 schools in Division One, their opponent rating value is the lowest.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that really has killed them. You know, I've suggested, you know, and you know, with all due respect to the GBL, that, you know, they may have to consider maybe playing an independent schedule. You know, stay in the league for all the other sports and go independent in football. I mean, because this is going to happen every year under this format, unless they're fortunate enough that, you know, they can possibly beef up the non-leaguers. You know, they do play Xaverian, but, you know, maybe see if they can pick up St. John's Prep again. You know, it was a big mistake they made a couple of years ago was dropping them.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, Dan, I'm looking around the North Shore. That would include... You know, we have teams to keep an eye on here for sure. Fenwick, St. Mary's, and of course St. John's Prep for postseason. But I'm thinking in the Northeastern Conference this year, we just don't, as of right now, we don't have the real powerhouse team that we've had in the past. Say an example, the last year or two, Marblehead.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you look at PB's had such a good season, and Marblehead, you know, despite the loss, they're still 5-1. You know, still a team that, you know, anytime you have a Connor Cronin there, you know, he's going to give you cause for concern. But like you said, the margin for error there is a lot smaller than it's been in the past, you know, where they had Josh Robertson, who, you know, certainly was a great combo with Connor Cronin. But, I mean, Marblehead is still a team that you're going to have to watch. I mean, I've been impressed with Fenwick. I mean, you know, they lose so many guys, and they still, you know, they're right there.
Yeah, you know, I've come to one of the things about this postseason playoff system that obviously I do like is that you can lose a game and it doesn't kill you. You know, the old many years ago, and I go way, way back here, the very old point system, you'd lose a game and you'd be killed, you know, for postseason or so on. But or if you didn't win the actual league title, even go back before that.
I mean, we talked about that, you know, I was talking about with an athletic director the other night, and, you know, there were one year in one of the leagues, two of the best teams played in week one. And the team that won wound up running the table. The team that lost went 10-1. And because in those days, only the league champion went, you go 10-1 and you get no reward. That's a little harsh, I think.
Yeah. And when I was talking about the Northeastern Conference, Peabody or the D1 teams really haven't been standing out, but Peabody and D2 obviously with the standout undefeated at this point season. They are the dominant team in the conference for sure right now. But they do enter the Division, you know, two tournament, which will be very difficult. I would, you know, when you have a team like CM in that category. So so I'm just thinking, and I do think you're right about a team like Marblehead. There are some sleepers out there that I think could do some damage in this postseason. In the Cape Ann League, you've got, you know, I kind of think you have like four teams that, you know, are very possible to do some things, like Amesbury, North Reading, Linfield, and maybe even Triton, depending on how things go this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about Triton, but everyone has said that they have a very good quarterback. And, you know, if you got a good quarterback, you can be dangerous. You know, Linfield, I've heard, you know, you use the word sleeper. They certainly stepped up last week, you know, knocking off Amesbury. You know, North Reading was in the Super Bowl last year, and they returned most of the bulk of that team from off of there. So I think when you're looking at legitimate contenders to get to Gillette, I mean, I think certainly North Reading in D5, I think Amesbury, despite the loss, you know, in D7, I think they're certainly one of the teams that has to be considered among the favorites to get to Gillette.
You know, I'll tell you, Dan, just my point of view from the North Shore, two of the top teams' performances on a given night that I saw this year were North Reading, when they defeated Triton, and then Amesbury the following week when they defeated North Reading. So it's kind of interesting on that front. But those two teams did great on those particular nights. And let me just throw one more thing. And we had a fantastic game last Friday with kind of a wild finish with Danvers and Masconomet, won by Masco in overtime. But I'll tell you, those two teams looked like playoff teams. They were hitting hard all night long.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly, you know, the game – what everyone says ended pretty controversial, to say the least. So Masco is right in the mix there in Division Three. I think right now they're 11. So, I mean, you know, and then you look at Danvers, and Danvers has always been a tough team. They play everyone tough. They're right on that, even though they're 3-4, they're right on that bubble there for that last playoff spot going into this week.
Yeah, and I love their game. They got Marblehead this Friday night, Dan, and Masco plays host to Swampscott. So definitely that Danvers-Marblehead game, one to watch in our area.
Absolutely. Huge game. More so for Danvers than Marblehead, I would say, just because of the tournament ramifications.
Yeah, for getting into the tournament, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Danny, anything else you want to share with us about high school football here this weekend?
No, I think we pretty much hit all the parameters.
You could say we exhausted it. You could do that, right?
No, well, we exhausted it. I like it.
All right. Yeah, I don't know whether that's the right way to phrase it or not, but we've killed it. We've spiked it. There we go.
There you go.
There's a nice volleyball reference. All right, Dan, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely.
Danny Ventura from the Boston Herald with us here on MSONewsSports.com.